Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a dark, amen style pad for 90s inspired drum and bass. This is one of those sounds that seems simple at first, but it can completely change the emotional weight of a track. In darker D&B, the pad is not just a pretty layer sitting in the background. It's doing real work. It's connecting the break, the sub, and the tension in the arrangement. It can make a roller feel haunted, make a jungle tune feel cinematic, and give the whole record that old-school dread without cluttering the mix. So in this lesson, we're going to build a pad that feels sampled, gritty and alive, but still clean enough to sit properly in a modern Ableton mix. We'll use synthesis, resampling, filtering, saturation, stereo control and arrangement automation to make it feel like it belongs behind an amen break and a serious low end. The first thing to remember is that dark D&B pads work best when the source already has some harmonic haze. We do not want a shiny supersaw that sounds too polite. We want something a little worn, a little imperfect, and a little unresolved. So create a new MIDI track and load Wavetable or Analog. If you're using Wavetable, start with a saw on oscillator 1, and either another saw or a triangle on oscillator 2. Keep the detune modest, somewhere in the 8 to 18 cent range. You don't need a huge unison stack here. 2 to 4 voices is usually enough. Then put a low-pass filter on it, either 12 dB or 24 dB, and start shaping the cutoff somewhere between 500 Hz and 2.5 kHz depending on how dark you want the sound to feel. For the envelope, give it a slower attack, maybe a couple hundred milliseconds up to around a second and a half, and let the release breathe for 2 to 6 seconds. That gives the pad a proper wash and helps it float behind the drums instead of jumping out too aggressively. Now let's talk harmony. The trick here is not to get fancy. In fast music, the listener catches the mood very quickly, so you want the chord to say tension immediately. Minor sevenths, suspended voicings, and small clustered notes all work really well. Try root, minor third, seventh, and maybe an added ninth. Or even better, try removing the root entirely and letting the sub define the harmony. That can make the pad feel way more cinematic and less like a normal keyboard chord. Once your sound source is ready, write a short 1-bar or 2-bar MIDI loop. Keep it sparse. Let the notes sustain. Leave space before strong snare hits. If you're working at 174 BPM, even the placement of the pad entrance matters. Starting on the end of one or letting the pad swell under the first half of the bar can create a darker, more human feel. If you're building over an amen break, this part is important. Do not crowd the snare accents. The break needs room to speak. A pad that is always moving right on top of the snare can sound impressive in solo, but in the full mix it steals the groove. So think about the pad as a supporting atmosphere, not a lead. A good rule is to make the pad evolve over a few bars. Maybe bar 1 is the basic sustained chord, bar 2 introduces a small voicing shift, and by bar 4 you either open the filter or remove some low mids to increase tension. That kind of gradual change feels musical without becoming busy. Now comes one of the most important steps in this whole workflow, resample the pad to audio. In D&B, resampling is huge. It turns a pristine synth into something that feels more like a sample, and that sampled character is a big part of the 90s darkness. So freeze and flatten the MIDI, or record it onto a new audio track. Then duplicate that audio track. Keep one copy cleaner, and make the other one dirtier. On the dirty version, add saturator or drum bus. A good starting point for saturator is around plus 2 to plus 6 dB of drive with soft clip-on. With drum bus, try a small amount of drive, maybe 5 to 15%, and keep the damp control moderate so it doesn't get too glossy. If the pad gets pokey, reduce the transients a little. This is the moment where the sound starts feeling like it came from a worn tape loop instead of a polished synth preset. That's exactly what we want. Next, shape the tone with EQ and filtering. Think like a bass engineer here, not just a sound designer. The pad has to fit around the sub and the drums. Use EQ8 to high pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on how much body you need. If the mix starts getting cloudy, cut a bit around 250 to 500 Hz, because that's where mud builds up fast. If the pad is fighting the snare or the break hats, soften some of the upper mid-range around 2.5 to 5 kHz. And if it feels too polite, a very gentle boost around 800 Hz to 1.5 kHz can bring back some grit and presence. For movement, use auto filter either before or after the saturation. A low-pass filter works great here. You can automate the cutoff from about 300 Hz up to 3K Hz over 8 or 16 bars, depending on the section. Keep resonance low to moderate so it doesn't start sounding like a synth effect instead of a dark texture. A really effective move is to sweep the cutoff from around 450 Hz in the intro up to about 2.2K Hz at the build. Then pull it back, down hard on the drop. That gives you a classic tension and release shape that works especially well in DNB arrangement. Movement should stay subtle. In this style, you want the motion to be felt more than heard. Chorus ensemble is great for that. Keep the dry slash wet fairly low, around 8 to 20%. Auto pan can work too if it's very slow, something like 0.05 to 0.15 Hz, with a modest amount. Frequency shifter can add unstable character if you keep it tiny. The key is not to overdo any one effect. A nice trick is to automate a little extra chorus depth or a slightly wider stereo image right before the drop. Then pull it back in when the sub arrives. That makes the entrance feel bigger without actually making the pad louder. Now let's deal with stereo discipline, because this is where a lot of DNB pads go wrong. They get wide and beautiful, but they wreck the center of the mix. That is a problem when you need the kick, snare, and sub to stay solid. Use utility and EQ8 to keep the low end under control. Make sure everything below around 120 Hz is either mono or removed from the pad entirely. If the pad starts smearing the punch of the snare and bass, reduce the stereo width. On the main pad, a width setting around 80 to 120% is often enough. If you create a separate airy layer, high pass it harder, maybe around 250 to 400 Hz, so it only adds width and texture, without clogging the core. This is where thinking in layers really helps. Instead of one big atmosphere, split the sound into rolls. You can have a body layer, which is the main chord and stays more centered, then an air layer, which is high-passed and wide, then a damage layer, which is resampled, gritty, and maybe a little narrower. That way, if the mix gets crowded, you can simply balance the layers instead of rebuilding the whole pad from scratch. To make the pad sit properly with the break, sidechain compression can help a lot. Put a compressor on the pad and sidechain it from the drum bus or kick and snare group. Keep the attack fairly quick, maybe 1 to 10 milliseconds, and the release somewhere around 80 to 250 milliseconds depending on the groove. You do not want huge pumping unless that's a deliberate stylistic choice. Just enough ducking to make the drums breathe. If the pad is still masking the snare crack, use a lighter touch with the low mids, or tame the transients with drum bus or a fast compressor. You want the pad to breathe around the break, not fight it. Now let's add some darker character with an FX chain. A very solid chain might be auto filter, saturator, EQ8, chorus ensemble, reverb, and utility. Or, if you want something rougher, try redux, saturator, filter delay, and EQ8. Redux is especially useful if you want that old sampler feel. Keep it subtle, though. We're not trying to destroy the sound, just age it a little. Reverb should also be handled carefully. Keep the decay around 1.5 to 4 seconds. Use a low cut to keep the low end clean, and roll off the top around 6 to 9 kHz if it gets too shiny. Echo or filter delay can be great for transitions, especially if you only bring them in on selected bars. If you want an even more old-school jungle flavor, print the pad with these effects and then chop the audio manually. That can make the atmosphere feel more like a sample than a synth, and that identity works beautifully with break edits and ghost notes. Arrangement is where this whole thing becomes more than sound design. A good pad can play several roles in a track if you automate it properly. In the intro, keep it low-passed and ominous. Let it establish the key center and create that dark mood before the drums fully arrive. In the pre-drop, open the filter and widen the image a bit to create anticipation. In the drop, thin it out so the sub can own the low end. In the breakdown, bring back the full atmosphere with longer tails and more space. And in the outro, strip it down so DJs can mix out cleanly. That DJ-friendly part matters. An intro pad can be more filtered and roomy, while the outro can be drier and less emotionally dense. That gives the mix a cleaner exit without losing the vibe. If you want to push this further, try one of the advanced variations. Duplicate the MIDI clip and shift one copy up an octave, but keep the higher layer more filtered and less wet. That gives you a haunted shimmer without adding low-mid clutter. Another great move is to hold one drone note while the rest of the chord changes. That pedal tone tension is very effective in jungle and old-school DNB, because it creates an ease without sounding busy. You can also build a broken tape version. Resample the pad, then process it with redux, a bit of pitch drift, a short echo, and a slow auto pan. Keep that version low in the mix and bring it in only for transitions or breakdowns. It gives the track a haunted, Sampled identity. If you want more rhythmic energy, slice the pad into little fragments and rearrange them with small gaps that can make the atmosphere feel like it's interacting with the break instead of just hovering behind it. Here's the big mindset shift to remember. The pad does not need to be consistently loud to feel intense. In darker DNB, moments of openness often feel bigger than a texture that's massive all the time. Let the pad breathe. Let it appear and disappear. That contrast is where the emotion lives. So to recap, start with a simple, slightly imperfect harmonic source. Write a sparse chord or cluster that leaves room for the amen and the sub. Resample it, process it like a sample, and shape it with EQ, filtering, saturation, and subtle modulation. Keep the low end out of the way, manage the stereo field carefully, and automate the sound so it evolves across the arrangement. If the pad can support the break, the bass line, and the overall mood without muddying the mix, then you've nailed it. That's how you get that dark, 90s-inspired DNB atmosphere that feels intentional, deep, and properly heavy. Now go build it, and make that pad feel haunted.